And Susanna Tam is going to ask Jenny Kwan for the answer first.
The federal government is committed to putting $5 billion over the next 5 years into a national child care plan. Women all over BC will tell you that currently there are not enough non-profit child care spaces available and that fees are too high. How will your government ensure that these federal dollars will be used to establish a regulated system of child care in BC that is affordable, high quality, and accessible to all families who need it?
Thank you very much, Chair, for that question. Yes, absolutely. We'll dedicate every single federal dollars for child care to go into child care, or the notion of early childhood development. Let me just say this. When Linda Reed says that every dollar for from the federal government had actually gone into early childhood development, here's what she meant. Because I debated this line by line with the former minister on this issue. And I'll give you one example. Federal dollars for early childhood development went into things like immunization for children that used to be funded from the Ministry of Health. But under the Liberal government and the Liberal watch, they say that's early childhood development. Now, I'm not saying that that's not an important program and children should have access to immunization. That is not early childhood development, that is not childcare, and that is not acceptable. So, yes, the New Democrats... The New Democrats, we are very committed to a universal child care program, not just for my child, but for every child, so that there is affordability, there is universality, that there's quality control, that there is accountability, so that the licensed workers are out there providing the kinds of teaching environment and the knowledge base that they've been trained to pass on to our children so that they have the maximum opportunity to maximize the potential. I was proud to be a government that actually supported the Monroe Agreement that said to child workers across British Columbia, thank you very much for the work that you do. Because when we invest in you, we invest in our children. And that is the best investment one could make for both social responsibility point of view as economic responsibility point of view. So thank you to the child workers in our community, and we in the New Democrats are absolutely committed to universal child care.
Linda Reed.
Yes, I will reiterate the funding that gets transferred from the federal government ought to be spent in every penny if it's for a specific purpose to that specific purpose. I think what would help is, in fact, if governments provided some transparency on this. I've been to budget lockups after budget lockups, and can you find those transfer lines for those specific items of money transfer? No, you can't. And so it would be...
Can today.
I've read the budgets, that those line items in the public documents are not there in terms of those specific transfer items. And it's very important, because if you see them in those line items, you know that the money is then spent, money in from the government, money out to the people in BC. Regarding early childhood, the daycare programs, the funding that has been cut and the change in rules and regulations has really hit people hard. When eligibility was changed so that low to middle income earners could no longer afford it. What impact it had was not just on those families. And the fees were changed to something like, in a subsidized situation, $200 a month to almost $1,000 a month. And people simply couldn't do that. They had to choose between, whether work would even cover the fees at that kind of level. What it meant for many child care centers, good child care centers, like the boat, Victorian 14th, was that they had to shut down because they couldn't simply get enough people to be able to afford it. Britannia Centre, half the people left because they couldn't afford it. So it affects far more than just those individual families who then have to struggle. It affects the larger community because the availability of child care isn't there.
Let me respond to Adrian's comment first about not being able to understand the budget. The reality is we're the first province in Canada that's gone to generally accepted accounting principles. It doesn't get clearer than that in terms of transparency. Those individuals have those budgets up on those websites instantaneously. So there's great opportunity for this province to be more informed probably than any other province in Canada. In terms of Jenny's comment that indeed she believes in universal child care, they had 10 years in government to deliver on it and didn't. So I'm not convinced that the words speak louder than actions in this instance. It's a fascination that after 10 years, there's very little to show on behalf of the New Democrats in terms of their commitment to child care. And I will return to the discussion about the $5 billion federally and the dollars that will come to British Columbia, roughly $130 million annually over 5 years, which brings us to approximately $6 million. That dollar is dedicated for child care and will be spent on child care in this province. No question about that. The $291 million that began in the year 2000 and will conclude this year for early childhood development is spent on early childhood development, and I'm intensely proud of those programs that we funded, intensely proud of them. And you will understand the impact and the benefits that those programs have had to children in this province, whether we're talking infant development programs, supported child development programs, speech and language therapy, supports for young children to survive, to thrive, to succeed, to be literate. That is the essence of early childhood development. And shocking that Jenny would suggest that a vaccine's not part of an early childhood development program when this process came to pass. And indeed, the province had the opportunity to participate in meningococcal, pneumococcal vaccines. Children die from that in this province without those vaccines. So not to put that in place, when there are individuals in this room who could afford to purchase that service, and not to put it in place to make it a universal delivery mechanism through early childhood development was wrong. Those vaccines today, now that they're established, are paid through the Ministry of Health, and that will continue. But for anyone to suggest something that supports a baby in this province is not early childhood development. It's just senseless.
Our next question focuses on women's work. Margot Young will ask the question, and Linda Reed will answer it first.
In 2002, the BC government legislatively removed important provisions from freely negotiated collective agreements that led in turn to the layoff of 8,000 healthcare workers. The government ushered in contracting out of hospital support services to large corporations that pay workers between $9 and $12 an hour with minimal benefits. This low-wage economic strategy has been condemned by two United Nations agencies. The strategy, along with the government-imposed 15% wage rollback on healthcare workers, has devalued women's work and set women's equality gains back more than 30 years. I have one question with a number of parts to it. What will your party do to recognize the value of women's work to society, restore decent wages and adequate pensions to working women, and in these areas further the advancement of women's equality?
Linda.
The notion somehow that the rollback of 15% was a government prerogative, frankly, is wrong. And most people in this audience know that, that the union leadership came back and asked that the savings not be taken from concessions, but in fact be taken from wages. I mean, that's a fact. It was well reported. So to phrase the question that way, frankly, is inaccurate. In terms of healthcare budgets in this province, and I'll give you some examples. I was health critic since 1991. I don't know if you recall what the budget for healthcare was in British Columbia in 1991, but over that few years it came to be $6 billion. It's probably $12 billion today, and we'll probably reach $13 or $14 billion in the next couple of years. You have to ask yourselves if that's all you want, frankly, government to do, is fund healthcare. The annual operating budget of this province is about $30 billion. Do you want it all to go to healthcare, or do you want it to go to other things? I mean, we still have the highest paid healthcare workers in the country. Absolutely we do. We have the highest paid nurses, we have the highest paid physicians. I mean, we're delivering some good programs to folks. And all you have to do is look up general accepted accounting principles. I mean, the information that I'm giving you is accurate, is valid. Do you wish to pay them even more than being the highest paid in the country? It's a decision that future budgets will come to bear. But the reality is, the decision for the 15% was not taken by government. It was taken by the union leadership. And that's a reported fact. All you need to do is look it up.
Adrian.
Well, as I said in my introduction, I stood on the picket line with the HEU workers over this issue because I believe that the work that they had done to achieve pay equity in their contract negotiations, as one of the first unions in Canada to do that, was worth standing up and fighting for. think that the rollback of that 15% of wages and retroactive, the discussion of its retroactivity was unconscionable. More than that, what we're talking about here is the contracting out of services from people in the public sector who had in many cases done that work for 20, 30 years, who were skilled at that work, who were doing good work. And to save some amount of money, you know, I think in the Vancouver Coastal Health Authority, $15 million or something like that overall for all the services, has turned out to be penny wise, pound foolish. Because I talk to people in the hospitals who can't stand to be there, even though they need to be there, because of the cleanliness and food issues that they have, where food has to be brought in because they simply can't, they can't stomach the food that is prepared. So we are in a position where I think we have to recognize that the privatization of those services was a wrong-headed move. We need to restore those services into public hands. And more than that, when you ask the issue of pay equity or ask of women's work being valued, it is about writing back in legislation for pay equity. And not only that, establishing some funding within government to provide some transition, especially so government can provide leadership, but also to companies that want to move on establishing pay equity in the workplace, because it's going to take some time to get there. So you want to encourage, in a leadership role, encourage that to happen in workplaces throughout this province.
And Jenny.
Wow, I'm not astounded by the question. I'm astounded by the answer that I heard from Linda Reed. To suggest that healthcare workers ask for wage rollback is absolutely ludicrous. This government imposed that wage settlement through the legislation by wielding the hammer of 77 seats against two opposition members through an all-night sitting. That's what the government did. And members of the community and health workers particularly spoke against what the government had done. And then that wasn't good enough, because what the government also did, as you all know, was lay off thousands of healthcare workers by privatizing those positions. And by that privatization, they put our healthcare system at risk, by creating a situation where hospitals are dirtier than there is today, by providing food services that are not adequate to eat. Even Liberal MLAs had to admit that. By actually shipping out jobs to another province so that British Columbians wouldn't have an opportunity for those job opportunities. And we have a minister of state who wants to say that that is because the healthcare workers asked for it? I don't think so.
Jenny, listen again. The question was, sorry, in terms of who made the decision.
Linda, sorry, you've had your time. We'll have to stay with Jenny. And if I could ask again the audience to hold back your comments until question period.
We need to stop privatization in the entire healthcare sector. And that's what we want to do and what we're committed to. I want to say very clearly that the government targeted women in that sector, and particularly minority women in that sector, and particularly women who are in the middle ages, who would find it difficult to find employment elsewhere. And in addition to that, the government took away successorship rights for those jobs, for other places. And this is what this government did. There was no protection for the women and the workers who lost those jobs. And we fought against it every step of the way in the legislature. So to suggest otherwise, I'm sorry, it's just simply false. Will we, the New Democrats, work with you to address these issues? Absolutely. Will we work with you to address pay equity in our province? Absolutely, because that is my dream. And that is the thing that we need to work towards. Not just, again, my generation. It's not about me. It is about future generations. It is about the people and the future that we want to build for our communities. And for all the women who fought before me to bring me here so that I have the right to represent the people. We owe them that much, to strive for economic equity for everyone, and particularly women in our communities.
Our next question focuses on the question of social assistance. Margot Young will ask Jenny Kwan to begin.
In 2002, the BC government cut rates for social assistance. For the first time in 20 years, it cut the rate for families. It also narrowed eligibility rules, adding time limits, a 3-week waiting period, deeming single mothers employable when their youngest child is 3, as opposed to what it had been before, 7 years of age, and requiring recipients to have lived outside their parents' home for 2 years. Here's the question. Will your party, if elected, government on May 17th, raise social assistance rates to a level that will ensure that women receiving social assistance can meet their basic needs for food, clothing, and shelter?
Jenny.
We will begin by increasing rates, particularly for single parents, particularly for people who the government deems to be individuals with persistent barriers or multiple barriers, because they actually faced a cut under this government, and those are the beginnings of what we will do in terms of addressing and restoring some aspects of our social safety net. We will actually bring back the earnings exemption that the government had taken away. It was shameful that this government actually took away the maintenance exemption for single parents, and we will restore that as well. We can't do it all overnight. There are many things that we need to do. Today, I was at SFU, and we saw a presentation that talked about poverty amongst children, that every 3 seconds, a child dies across the globe. Is that acceptable? Absolutely not. Because of the cuts from this government and some of those policy decisions, the 2 out of 5 year rule that the government had brought in, a U.S. style sort of imposition to arbitrarily say somehow by 2 years you need to be cut off of income assistance, we do not support that. The 3 week wait has actually increased the rate of homelessness in the province of British Columbia. A study just came out from Spark showing that in the Lower Mainland, homelessness had actually more than doubled from 2001 and now. And you know what? That was a direct result of this government's policies. Make no mistake about that. And they need to take responsibility and personal responsibility in addressing that and bringing forward policies that will actually address the homelessness problem. So I am committed in working with you to begin to build back our social safety net that has been dismantled under the Liberal watch. It is time to say to everyone, doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what is your socioeconomic status, you matter. You matter. And our society is judged by how well we treat the people who face the challenges, the people who live in the shadows of life. And it is our collective responsibility to do that, all levels of government along with the community, so that we can say proudly to the world, so that we can reclaim our status with the United Nations, that we are a compassionate community, we're a compassionate province, and a compassionate country that care about one another. And you know what? I've been taught this in my own family. We care not just for ourselves, but we must care about others and what we want for us. I too want that for everyone else. That's why I entered into politics. That's why my parents came here to British Columbia. And it is about creating better futures, not just for the selected few, but for everyone, because everyone matters in this province.
Adrian, the question is, if your party forms government, will it raise social assistance rates?
Absolutely, but before I tell you how we would do that or the specifics of it, I too, like Jenny, share the concerns about people who live in poverty. And the fact that the gap between rich and poor in this province has grown to be the biggest in Canada. But I'd like to point out that it when the eligibility rules were changed. And I would like to point out that it was also under Joy MacPhail that a 3-month wait period was introduced in terms of waiting for benefits. And that caused homelessness too.
That was revealed.
The Green Party believes that we need to look at the real issue of the gap between rich and poor and whether or not the systems that we have now are cumbersome, are bureaucratic, are demeaning. We need to move out of those myriad of systems of income support and actually combine and work with the federal government to have one guaranteed livable income. And that needs to be at the low income cutoff level. We can't have, in our wealthy society, it's not good enough that people can't find shelter, can't put food on the table, can't clothe their families. So it is that guaranteed livable income. It should be at the low income cutoff level. Until that moved in, we believe that people who are receiving income assistance should be able to keep every penny of money they earn beyond the income assistance that they've got now to the low-income cutoff level. That encourages them to work as much as they possibly can in this society.
Linda Reed.
Thank you. In terms of where people are today in British Columbia, 200,000 people are absolutely looking out for themselves and their families today that were not under the previous administration. That speaks to me. And it speaks to the children who live in those families. There are people in this room who would somehow believe that welfare is a great life. If you ask children, it's not. And this government has certainly spent a great deal, hundreds of millions of dollars, in terms of putting people in situations where they actually have counselors and support systems and employment advisors and schooling advisors. All of you will know someone who has actually done really, really well and has, in fact, elevated their ability to care for their kids. They live in every community in British Columbia. There's 200,000 of them. In terms of Adrian's comment about transparency, 200,000 of them. Why anyone would frown at that astonishes me. This is about resourcefulness. And certainly in terms of moving from a 3-month wait period to a 3-week wait period, I think that was a pretty decent decision. A pretty decent decision. The New Democrats under Joy McPhail, I mean, she was health minister, she was social services minister. Some horrific things. Apparently not, because it was not an option for myself.
Sorry, I was asking. That's
right. There'll be questions later, and you can have your say.
In terms of opportunities before us, I mean, I'm a teacher. I spent lots of time teaching. Do I want us to do a better job by every single little person in this province, by every parent in this province? I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I have a dear mentor in this life, Dr. Dan Offord, who said, we will only become a more civilized society if we're prepared to care for children other than our own. How we do that, I think, is by supporting their families and supporting their parents. I absolutely believe that. And indeed, the number of counselors and support workers that have walked people through a process that has allowed them to be independent and to make decisions for themselves is a wondrous, wondrous accomplishment.
Sorry, just to hate to clarify again, but if we could get a yes or no to your party's intention should it form government again, would it raise social assistance rates?
We have continued to add dollars to programs that support people to work through the process. Absolutely no question we would do that.
Okay, I think people can take from everyone's answers what they will. Thank you so much for responding to our panelists' questions.